You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Greyhound Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Greyhound Podcast. We're looking ahead to round two of the William Hill Greyhound Derby. The heats take place on Thursday and Saturday. My name is Mark Walton. Joining me on the line is the Racing Post Greyhound expert, Jonathan Kay. How are you, Jonathan?
I'm in good form, Mark. A little bit battered and bruised after the first round. It wasn't an unmitigated success, shall we say, but really looking forward to round two.
Yeah, but what a first round it was. I mean, there was drama, there was disqualified dogs in the end. You mentioned you didn't think there'd be a track record. That didn't go, but plenty of pacey times as well. Real interesting start to the Derby.
It was a terrific start to the Derby. Obviously, from a personal point of view, big blow. And a big blow for Jimmy Wright when Droopy's Buick, my anti-post fancy, had to be withdrawn on first round day off colour. That left a big hole. And I think unfortunate as well that Bramble Magpie, another Newcastle greyhound, who was so impressive in the first round, subsequently had to be withdrawn injured. But some great stories, as you say, some fantastic performances. And really, Droopy's Buick apart, we didn't lose much. I mean, we might have thinned it down to, I think there's 94 remaining now, but gosh, there's serious quality in there.
Yeah, we've got a new favourite now as well, Jonathan. Just looking back at round one a little bit, Eden the Kid has gone to the top of the market. Third last year in the competition, impressed in Heat 9 on the opening night with a time of 28.21, and subsequently was made new favourite for the competition. Were you impressed with him?
You couldn't fail but to be impressed. I mean, we know what we're going to get with Eden the Kid, and that run just showed that he's at the top of his game. Wimbledon suits him down to the ground. He's the track record holder there, and what was impressive was the thoroughly professional way that he went about his job. I think the bookmakers have probably looked at it and thought, well, how are we going to knock this greyhound out? Whilst the each-way terms are still relatively generous, I don't think they wanted to be getting stuck up with prices to make the final. So he's probably short enough now, but he's deservedly at the top of the market.
Yeah, the first night was a good night for John Turner as well, wasn't it, the owner? He had a treble with JT Dutch, and the fastest dog of the first round, JT Spartacus, went round in 28.11. 14-1 shot for JT Spartacus, by the way. He had a pretty good night, didn't he?
Night and very contrasting performances. JT Spartacus was absolutely electric. Almost came out too quick for his own good, stumbled slightly out of the boxes, but that didn't stop him racing clear. And look, it wasn't the strongest of heats, but you can do no more than put a big marker down like that. I thought JT Jet struggled a little bit, got there in the end. We'll definitely have to step up on that. JT Dutch was the really interesting dog, had come into the competition under a little bit of a cloud, but was able to, despite running wide off the second bend, show real pace and quality and class, and looks at a serious player, you'd have to say.
Yeah, another serious player, considered so anyway in the anti-post market. Droopy's Roddick, he went through in third, a bit of a rough ride in Heat 8, but he's still through, and that's all that matters really, isn't it?
Yeah, he's a really polarising opinion. I mean, my view was that, yes, he did find trouble early and again at the second bend. I was a little bit disappointed with his finishing effort from there. But, look, he's been beaten in the first round of competitions before, most notably the Puppy Derby, and he ended up winning that in fantastic fashion. It's a brave man who writes off Droopy's Roddick. He does have a very, very tough draw in the second round, though.
Yeah, we'll move on to the second round action in a moment or two. Friday's highlight, possibly Southfield Jock, Jonathan, fastest of the night. Would you upgrade that performance as well, given that it was late on a warm and long evening?
Definitely. I think what was most impressive was the way that the runner-up, Koolavani Pat, couldn't make any impact on him, because he's a really classy greyhound, is Koolavani Pat, and was never really able to get to the leader, Southfield Jock. I suppose with Southfield Jock, like a lot of early-paced dogs, you would wonder whether he can sustain it through what is a brutal competition. You know, three runs in a week, I think I mentioned that last week, that often catches them out. And another greyhound that you have to mention in that regard, Higher Butt, what a fantastic run from him. He did a 4.63 sectional, absolutely blitzed out of the box and show brilliant early pace. And that's only one spot slower than the best ever sectional, Croker's Champ 462 a couple of years ago. You know, how are you going to lead him, but will he be able to maintain it throughout?
I suppose the disappointment from Friday will be, in hindsight, Bramble Magpie, who was impressive on the night, but has had to withdraw through injury.
Yes, as I said at the top of the podcast, terrible bad luck for Stephen Anderson. I think it's his first Derby campaign. A relatively new trainer has really put his heart and soul into it. Everyone at Bramble Kennels up in Newcastle have, and was thrilled with the performance, quite rightly so, but started to get a few worrying signs on the way home. I think he said he'd stopped off at Costa Coffee to get a load of ice just to try and get any swelling down, but unfortunately there is a fracture there to the hock. Good news is he should make a full recovery, but that's not going to make the next few weeks easier when he's watching and wondering what might have been.
Yeah, just a couple I want to get your thoughts on as well from Saturday, Jonathan. Face the Blade, who was the fastest of the night, and Roxanne Barkley, who was impressive later on in the evening. A lot of people seem impressed with Roxanne Barkley.
Well, taking Roxanne Barkley first, he was very impressive. I mean, he raced clear, did come back to the field a little bit late on, but I think he looks a ground who can only go forward. He is lightly raced, he's got a lot of scope, and I wouldn't rule him out of being a really dark horse for overall honours. Face the Blade, I spoke to Kevin Hutton after his victory on Saturday, and he was saying he's a real confidence dog. Now, he did very bravely dive across at the first bend. If he wasn't at the top of his game, he would have sort of eased up and let others go, but you know that he's feeling good about himself when he runs the bend as ferociously as he did.
So what does all that mean to the market then? Well, Eden the Kid is now 7-1 favourite, 10-1 for JT Jet, JT Dutch is 14s with JT Spartacus, Droopy's Roddick 18-1, 20s for Ballymac Matt, Domino Storm, Hayabut and Linton Panda is 25-1 or bigger prices for the others. So quite a few changes in the market there, Jonathan. How does that affect your views in the outright betting?
Well, I've written a piece in the Racing Post. We do a thing called Derby Dossier after each round. And the greyhound that I've put people in the direction of is actually quite an exposed greyhound, Ballymac Brogan. Now, he was beaten in the first round by Viking Jack, but his odds haven't really changed. And I thought he ran ever so well. He probably would have won the race, but for stumbling out the boxes. He's a real competition dog. Gets to final after final, East Anglian Derby, the Olympic. He won the Arc, and, you know, he's got this durability, and I just think he could be a little bit underrated in the market, maybe because he was actually beaten in the first round.
He's a 66-1 shot in the market at the moment, Ballymac Brogan. If you had to pick one at the top end of the betting, Jonathan, who would you go with at the shorter odds?
Well, look, it's going to be very, very difficult, you'd have to say, to keep Eden the Kid out of the frame. I've always had in the back of my mind that something might just prove a little bit too good for him as the competition progresses. I don't think we've seen the very best of all of the other guns at the top end of the market, but I think you look for greyhounds that have been there and done it. Now, Ballymac Matt was another greyhound who divided opinion. He's not the best of bend runners. If you thought he was going to improve his bend running, he would certainly have to enter the calculations, but you know, he's got a record of not doing that. Mark Wallace is absolutely adamant that being a bitch will not stop Domino Storm winning the market, winning the Derby. They don't have a great record, obviously, over the years, and I just wonder if the market is yet to catch up with just the sheer brilliance that she's showing at the moment.
Yeah, in the outright betting, she is
20-1 chance, I think.
20-1, yeah, you're correct. But she's also in the specials market. We have plenty of specials on the site. She's favourite for the top bitch. 4-5, Domino Storm, Queen Asia 9-2, You Never Listen is 9-2, fives or bigger for the rest. Is she the right price in that market, Jonathan?
She's going to be very tough to beat, isn't she? I mean, obviously, I think the bitches have been whittled down to 7 survivors now. The other interesting runner in that market is probably Crossfield Molly for Seamus Cahill. I did a lot of running to get to the front in a heat after a troubled run early, and then was just outstayed, but she's got the chance in the second round to go ping on the outside. So if Domino Storm was to find some traffic issues or some trouble, I think Crossfield Molly might be the one that benefits, but yeah, she's rock solid at the head of the market.
Yeah, if you want to find the specials on the William Hill website, click on the Greyhound page. At the top, you'll find several blue tabs. Click on the specials tab right on the right-hand side. And scroll down, there's plenty of William Hill Greyhound Derby specials there. We've got 8 of them on the market, on the website at the moment, so do check those out. Let's get stuck into the second round, Jonathan. Let's focus more intently on Thursday and Saturday night's action. Thursday night, if you were to offer us a nap selection and possibly a next best, what would you go for?
Well, funnily enough, I'm actually going to mention another bitch for the Knapp selection. I'm going to side with You Never Listen for Jim Reynolds, golden sprint winner from last year. I thought she ran a brilliant race behind Ballymat Matt in the first round and has been rewarded with a very good inside draw in the third heat. This is a race that I think will be won from the front, and she's got every chance of being the one that goes round. As for her next best on the Thursday card, well, I think there are a few that there's a few short ones that you can possibly make cases against, but I'm actually going to go for one of the more competitive heats of the evening. I really thought Peregrine Falcon, the Irish raider for Pat Curtin, ran ever so well in the first round. He had trap one on that occasion but moved middle, so I don't think trap three will be an issue in the fifth heat. It's a race where you can really make a case for all of them, but he had a trouble preparation. That run should have done in the world of good, and he's just proven at this level he goes deep in derbies, and I think he can take a bit of beating in that race.
Superb. That's Thursday night then. What about Saturday? The second round concludes on Saturday night. Jonathan, what will be on Knapp and next best for then?
Well, I think there's some very, very competitive races to start with, but if you're looking for a rock-solid one on the evening, I may end up not actually napping this, but I'll suggest it as the best bet. It is a short one, but I think Calzaghe Billy in Heat 12 just ticks all the boxes. Recent arrival at Brian Thompson's Bellevue Kennel, and he looked the real deal. Won his heat by 7 lengths. He's in now a 5-runner race following the unfortunate withdrawal of Bramble Magpie, and if he runs anything like to first round form, he's going to be exceptionally difficult to beat. For a next best, maybe go to Heat 14. I think Charlie Lister's Blake's Turbo in Trap 2 was outstayed by the St. Ledger winner Fizzy Pop Buddy in the first round, but there's no disgrace in that. Fizzy Pop Buddy went round in a decent pitch and was always likely to prove too strong. I think if Blake's Turbo leads in this race, he can probably hold on.
Great work. Thank you very much, Jonathan. Been a pleasure speaking to you once again. Enjoy the second round, and we'll look forward to speaking to you again ahead of the next round.
Hope so. All the best, Mark.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.